Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experiment. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Everyone, welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and today we're going to have a fabulous show with Nick Seneca Jankel, and he's calling all the way from England. But before I get to Nick and his wisdom, I want to introduce the show, Reality Spirituality. What kind of show is this? Who is this Rebecca Lynn Norrington anyway? This is for my new listeners. Thank you so much for tuning in. This show, Reality Spirituality, is about our everyday moments, how to make choices in your everyday moment to experience more happiness in your life. You know, this life is about choices. This journey is about choices. And there are things and there are behaviors and there are words and there is a personal vibration that you emit that will actually add to your happiness, and also behaviors, words, actions that subtract from happiness. And so this is a show about how to maintain and sustain more happiness in your life. Because my favorite quote, and I know everyone's getting tired of hearing it, but my favorite quote from Abraham is, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. So this show is about teaching and sharing with you what I've learned on my journey. When I was younger, I wanted two things. I wanted to, number one, live to my potential, and I wanted to be happy. And so whenever you ask the universe, whatever you ask, you will always get an answer. And when I was younger, I thought that getting married would make me happy, or traveling would make me happy, or living in a beautiful home, or a car, or even more importantly, a title, job, achievements. And what I found is none of those things, to my chagrin, none of those things really sustain what I was looking for. It didn't fill up what I was searching for. And so this happiness is something that I like to say, give the analogy of, you're standing in a boat, in a small boat, in the middle of the ocean, and the waves are up and down, and you're standing in that boat, and the boat is rocking back and forth, but you are still centered, peace, and you are still content knowing that everything is in order. That's what I'm talking about when I say happiness. So I want to welcome all my new listeners, and it's really about the journey. It's really about living more consciously, living more mindfully, living living in a state that you are aware of what you're doing and what you're saying in every single moment. And that's what this show is about. But today I'm so excited and happy to welcome Nick Seneca Jankel. He is a wisdom teacher. He's just going to fit in perfectly, isn't he, audience? He's a social entrepreneur and in-demand innovation leadership expert with a triple first from the University of Cambridge in medicine and philosophy. He's advised multinationals, Nike, Microsoft, and Disney, and social organizations. He's written for newspapers. Mike, not Mike, oh my goodness, Nick, without further ado, geez Louise, welcome to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I don't know why I said Mike, but it's Nick. Okay, I got it now. Can you give us a little bit of background? How, you know, when you were, how did you get to this place today? And when I say how, I mean as a teenager, as a young child, in your 20s, did you even have this direction or this idea of where you are right now?
Yeah, a little bit, actually. I was growing up in a fairly normal family, but there had been quite a lot of divorce and things, and I grew up without my dad, was fairly miserable a fair amount of the time. And so I went into psychotherapy when I was 13 to 16, which started me off really trying to understand myself.
Hold on just one second. I just want to ask you this. So you said you went into psychotherapy at 13, but so that was something that you wanted to do, or that was something that your mother...
Well, I didn't know, obviously, anything about this sort of thing. So my mum, who was actually training to be a therapist at the time, thought I should go into it, which is a little bit of a let's solve him rather than deal with the family issues, I now see in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great. I mean, I spent 1 hour a week just talking about whatever I wanted to, you know, cosmology, science, philosophy, why are we here? What am I here to do? So it really got me excited and opened me up, but it didn't really do the thing I wanted it to do, which was relieve me from my suffering, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of dabbled in mysticism a little bit, so I got interested in that. But there was no real pathway for being a mystic in 1980s London. Not that I knew of, anyway. There wasn't a pathway that I could see.
Yeah.
So I actually ended up going to medical school because I wanted to be a psychiatrist. So I was very intrigued by the mind. But the purely Western way of understanding the mind the medical way of understanding the mind didn't give me the juice I needed to find the relief I was looking for.
So you can say that you were searching for, you were seeking something, and did you have an intuitive feeling that there was something more that you wanted to find, discover?
One of the challenges I faced as someone who grew up in Britain and was interested in science, and my father is an absolute radical atheist, a sort of communist atheist type person, is I could not deal with New Age. The sort of New Age stuff, the stuff that isn't actually the real stuff, the stuff that's the sort of design choices. I couldn't really get close to the wisdom I needed because I couldn't get to the packaging to actually get the gift.
Yeah.
So it took me a long time to get the message, basically. Years of suffering that I didn't need to, have to deal
with. Let me throw in my little two cents, because one of the things that I always talk about on this show is that whatever you went through, including the suffering, including the things that we label horrible, you needed to go through all of that just to get to who you are today, my dear Nick.
Yes and no, I would say. Yes.
Oh.
My book is about how to go through pain and find yourself within it. So absolutely. But I do believe that if you have wisdom teachers in your life, you know, whether it's your parents or in your community or tribe, that can help guide you at the age of, 12, 13, 14, 15, when you start to sort of pop out into the big questions and realize some of the big things about life. If you have those tools and techniques available to you, then the pain never has to become suffering. That's the thing. You need the pain. You don't need the suffering.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. I get it. Okay, so you went into being a psychotherapist. That's what you said, or you're starting studying.
Psychiatrist was my kind of path.
Psychiatrist. Okay.
And then I fell out of love with the mechanistic medical model, and I studied philosophy instead, because I started to realize that most of the problems we face, the everyday problems, are actually problems of ideas, not problems of, you know, hormones, droplets, you know.
Mm.
Though they manifest in ourselves, they're not caused by cellular dysfunction, they're caused by idea dysfunction or feeling dysfunction, which is a whole different thing. And the medical system doesn't have anything much to say about that.
Right, right. Okay, so now you're talking about, this is really interesting, because I'm listening to you really intently, and you're coming from a totally different angle and background, which I love. I love sharing. And so you said something about can you say that it's about suffering? Is it about not suffering? Is it about the perspective that we have? You said something about feeling and what we're thinking. It is the perspective.
Exactly. Yes. Our problems are mainly philosophical in nature, and I don't mean that in the usual way, as in they're not therefore real. I mean they're extremely real, but they're to do with our mindset. And what I then subsequently learned is our mindset is inextricably linked to our emotional and spiritual experience. I resisted that. I thought it could all be done through the kind of standard self-help encounter group, change your beliefs, change your mind, and everything can change. And of course, many things can, just by going, you know what, I'm no longer going to think of myself as a victim about, you know, this area of my life. And that everything changes. But the really big stuff I discovered, the stuff that we really traps us in suffering, those beliefs are anchored into our being with through emotion and our spiritual reality. So until we look at that, there are some things that just straight up mind reprogramming can't transform ultimately.
So are you talking about what some people call the subconscious?
Yeah, I'm talking about I'm talking about our relationship to who we are and the universe we are in. And if we are still somewhere within us feeling afraid, disconnected, separate from consciousness, separate from the universe, then there's always a certain level of fear and stress in our system, which will make us hold on to our most challenging personality patterns, our habits, the most difficult things, just to see if we could, just to survive. So until we can enter into that subconscious space and start to peel back, you know, do I feel loved by the universe, or do I feel like I was never supported? Do I feel like I'm part of everything and I'm welcome here? Or do I feel I'm an imposter who was never meant to be here and has never been fully accepted? And one of the things I say in the book is we can only, you know, our parents may not be alive anymore, they might be old, priests and whoever else, and shamans. No one can provide us the love that we're looking for other than ourselves. It's every adult's responsibility to find that love themselves and provide it to their soul, ultimately.
Beautifully, beautifully said. And I'm on the listen. You're talking. You're preaching to the choir here, which means I agree with everything. But let me break it down even a little bit more, because you said something about we're either connected to the universe or we're either living in fear, living in you know, sad, angry, whatever it is. And it's actually true. And what I've said in my book is that there are two voices. There are two voices in my head. Mm-hmm. There's the voice of the universe, and then there's also the voice of, some people call it the ego. I just say man-made voice. And that other voice is something that I've learned that I learned when I was younger to listen to. And I know which is which. So I know which to focus on. I know which one to listen to.
Yes. Yes, I agree. In my book, I also talk about these two urges, if you like. And rather than say one's bad and wrong,
right.
I look
mm-hmm.
at one of them, the ego voice, as I call it the protector in the book. It's there to get us to stay alive till the next day. And it's urgent and it's loud and it basically says, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. Got to get this done. Don't do that. Don't want that. And it's very useful when we're younger because it actually stops us burning ourselves, getting run over, having to take on the abuse of a parent or whatever. That's the bit that protects us. But when we grow up into ourselves, and if it's still running the show, which it is in most of us, as I talk about in the book, the protector can only protect us from what we don't want. It can't help us get what we want. For that, we need this other voice urge, which I call the connector, which, as you say, is the voice of the universe. It's I call it the great we. In other words, I call it it's the we-ness of that comes through me. And that is the voice that the more we listen to it, or the more we allow ourselves to listen to it, or even hear it, mm-hmm. the more it will guide us towards happiness, thriving, learning, wholeness, integrity, all the things we want. And the voice of spirit can't get that stuff for us.
Basically who we really are. You said something which was, it's so important. It's really about, you said, about getting that love from
yeah.
self, or just mm-hmm. recognizing that. And that is the key. I use another word now. I used to say, love yourself, love yourself. I mean, how many times have I heard that? Love yourself. What the hell does that mean? And how can I do that? How do I do that? Mm. And another word that I've used that is even has helped me more is the word acceptance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking in the mirror and accepting it all. Looking in the mirror and accepting where I am right now, where I was yesterday. That's why I made that point earlier about where you were. You needed to, not you, but I needed to experience all the things that I've experienced,
yeah.
and including the suffering, because for whatever reason, there are no mistakes in the universe. Everything happens for a perfect reason. So I love that you, first of all, I love that we're on the same page, but we're just saying it differently.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, and this is the thing about the ego. One of the things that I say about the ego is, I say it's a five-year-old child. And sure, it was useful. There's nothing created in the universe that is not supposed to be here. In other words, there was a role for the ego. But I say it's a five-year-old, and then you say that the ego talks about. Is there to help you to get to the next day. I say it's there to help me, brush my teeth, take a shower, make sure I'm not wearing clothes that don't match. So would I allow a five-year-old to have the keys to a 747 jet?
Exactly. I mean, so when you talk about actual pragmatic real life, we need our ego to learn skills. So I talk about creativity a lot in the book.
Mm-hmm.
What if you want to write a book? You need your ego to be there, saying, "Right, I'm going to sit down and write, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to discipline." And
mm-hmm.
you need to learn how to write, actually, the act of writing, the craft.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when you get to a point when your ego's trained, if you like, you can let go into this universal channel of creativity, and that's where you get the magic. But it's not for me. It's not an either or. It's a both and. They're both
mm-hmm.
valuable, but we don't want our ego, that five-year-old child, we don't want it to be making the big choices.
Mm-hmm.
We want to release it from its... And the thing about it is, when you actually do it in moment by moment and you release the ego from having to deal with everything, it loves you for it. It's like, oh, great.
It does?
I have to protect you today. Oh, I can relax. And then and it feels so relaxing and free to not be working all the time.
Oh, so I've got a different perspective now, because I say that the ego's job is to, one of the ego's job is to, I want your take on this, is to try to make me feel bad for as long as possible. That's what I think. In other words, recognizing that, because if I listen to the ego, it's always there's something I didn't do, something I need to do, should. I get a lot of shoulds from the ego.
Definitely.
And so I don't know. That's how I view it. But I don't view go ahead.
So when you say that ego, you know what? You don't have to worry about what I should do right now, because I'm coming from presence, from love. I experience it. This might be sort of a more metaphorical. I experience that little inner child, that five-year-old going, I'll just go and play with my toys now. So it's almost. So I guess what I'm not necessarily saying it's the ego. It's the child that's trapped in that egoic voice that has been thanklessly usually working on our behalf to protect us, that can now go away and become a child again and actually sort of almost disappear from our being because we don't need it anymore. And so I guess it's a kind of, and especially one of the difficulties of this work is there's a ego as defined by the psychology community, and then there's an ego as defined by the spiritual process, and they don't quite map onto each other. And the work in psychology or psychospirituality would say you need a healthy ego before you can let go of it. It's very hard to do surrender work and really surrender into the universe and awaken spiritually with a very damaged ego. So for me, psychology and spirituality go together. They're like the bread and the filling, and we kind of need both.
Mm.
And at the moment in the world, it's often one or the other. So you have a lot of people doing spiritual work who are then still full of neuroses and gurus sleeping with their students and all that kind of stuff. And then you have psychology people getting so detailed on their psychological trauma, but missing the connection to spirit, which allows it all to fade.
Work, yeah, interesting, very interesting. One of the things that, and then we're going to get onto another subject. One of the things I say is that the ego. This is how I look at it. Like if I'm in a conversation with someone. And we're not agreeing. Well, the person I used to be, I always had to have the last response, or I would always have to respond. I would have to respond in a way that I was right and you're wrong. and so now living consciously, I know that the ego wants me to respond. I always say that's just a five-year-old wanting a lot of attention, wanting attention. And so I know which one, and I either I choose to either starve it or I choose to feed it in every moment.
But I still
love it. I still there's no resistance there, but that's my choice in every moment.
Absolutely, exactly. And that's in the middle of my book, there's a very part of it is around healing the inner child and allowing it to no longer need to, for example, want to say the last word and say, you know what, thank you for all my life trying to help me by getting the last word in. You know what, I'm bigger than that now. I don't need to. I love you. Bye.
I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, just go and play with your toys and have fun because you know.
Okay, so give me 5 points. Give me five specific points. How do you? I know this is you know a lot more than just five, but how do you heal your inner child? How do you heal your ego?
Well, I think the for me, yes, self love is the key, but the work I do kind of says that stand in front of a mirror, and let's say you've got a damaged child inside you, a wounded child. And you're standing in front of the mirror going, I love you, you're perfect. And there's this part of you, this little child in you, going, no, don't believe that. No, but you're wrong, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're unlucky, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have different crosses to carry of a wounded child. And that's psychology. So psychology will get to a certain point. And then, for me, it's about saying, actually, I need to allow the universe to love me. Because the universe's love is way bigger than my pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always step one for me. Step one is find a way to feel the universe as love. And that can be yoga, meditation, ecstatic dance, lovemaking, self-massage, other people massage. I mean, there's a million ways to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, find a way to feel that connection live and direct.
Okay,
and
let me throw this in really quick, because this is really important. Because, you know, it's find a way, but this is one I always say to my audience. Listen, always ask for help. I'm not here by myself. Ask the universe, how do I find a way to accept myself? Just throw that out there into the world. Universe, help me with this. How do I find a way? Just ask the question, and you just sit and you wait for the universe to work its magic.
And that's basically the deal. Exactly. The universe has the answers.
That's right.
That's inner part of you. We're part of the universe, right? So that's it comes as a voice often inside. Those five questions you ask, that's the one. Ask the universe for help.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people can't hear the universe. They can't feel. They don't feel supported by the universe. And actually, in a lot of the workshops I run, we do inner child healing, and then we realize there's another inner child that's actually upset with the universe. And once we get right with the universe, and once we actually heal that inner child, that basically says, you know, short version, God doesn't love me, X, Y, and Z. Once you heal that one, the universe is literally there, available 24/7 in you. It's in your DNA. I mean, literally, your DNA, your molecules and atoms are connected to the universe because they're part of the universe. It's not like it's the universe in some kind of, it's not God out there away from me. It's God in here as me. And it has the, you know, the bigger thing, the great self, the big self, the great we, it has always has the solution to everyone's pain. And here's the key: if you can allow that 5-year-old voice of ego to quiet down in your mind a little bit, because if it's too loud, you can't hear the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another tip: allow that voice to calm down.
Yeah. Well. This is what I say, and we have a few callers. I'm going to get to a couple of callers, but this is what I want to I say also. Because I talk to people all the time, and I actually teach a class on the importance of happiness. And you said something about the people can't hear the voice. Well, what I used to do is sit there and try to teach these things and share, and I just know that it's not their time to hear it. It's not their time.
Yeah.
But I can plant seeds. I definitely can do that. But
yeah,
if you're not hearing the universe. If you're not hearing the universe, it means it's not your time.
I kind of agree. I think you can teach people how to hear it and encourage them to hear it. But if you don't want to hear it, then you're never going to hear it. It still will make itself known.
Mm-hmm.
But that's usually through headaches, backaches, divorce, you know, conflict. That's the message. It's still coming through. It's just coming in a different form, you're right. But I teach a lot of different types of people, some of whom have not come to me specifically for deep child traumatic healing.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can do is plant seeds. That's exactly right. And it might be 10, 15, 20 years, and then one day they go, I remember that workshop. That was really interesting, and that was, you know, that opened something for me. But I'll never know that.
So
I have to trust that I'm doing the work I'm meant to be doing.
See, you said a couple of other words too: trust and surrender. You mentioned that earlier, but I want to throw in this too: the divorce, the backaches, the headaches, the whatever you want to, you know, the suffering, all of those activities, all of those things that I experienced are actually gifts. Everything is a gift. There are gifts. There are no mistakes. You said something also about we're part of the universe. Yeah, we are the universe. We are the universe in physical form.
Exactly.
We are. That's what I believe.
Absolutely. I think one of the dualistic notion of God versus me or God is over me, which is so in our culture, it's kind of, it creeps into spirituality too, and it's very easy to forget when you're praying or in meditation. It's very easy to forget that you're not praying to a universe outside of you. You're praying to a universe inside of you that we're intrinsically part of. And that oneness is so important. Otherwise, we start getting back into traps of God doesn't love me, God's not listening to me, God's not giving me what I want. And that's back to, you know, religion again.
Well, listen, I can't believe I've connected to someone and we're actually speaking the same language. It's very rare, very, very rare. But, yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, we're going to go to my first caller here. I have a few callers. Area code 586. What is your first name? Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Hello? Hello? Area code 586, first prefix is 709. You want to talk or you don't want to talk? It's up to you. Yep. All right. Well, either they walked away from the phone or they just got a big stage fright, but
so good.
Back to what we were saying, which is really fascinating conversation. I love how you're wording everything, because it's most of it's the same of what I'm saying, but it's just worded differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a question for you. You ready?
Yeah. I love hard questions.
Okay. Well, this is the question. Why are we here?
Oh, that's a big one.
Because I have my answer, and I'm probably right. But go ahead. What do you think?
Well, in these kind of questions, I guess I tend to be having spent a lifetime thinking about these questions, right back to when I was 13 in that psychotherapy room in Hampstead in London. Why are we here? I guess I do think about that a lot. But I definitely spend more time thinking about a sort of similar question, which is, given we're here, how can we serve? So there's almost the answer to the question within that, which is we're here to serve the unity. We're one diverse, you know, the metaphysical answer is we're one part of a universe that has expressed itself in this material, biological, heart-pumping, blood-rushing form. And then we get to play in that form by both healing and exploring and engaging in other parts of that one universe. So I guess that's the ultimate thing for me, is we're here to contribute to the creative expression of oneness in specific individual form. And from that, I then take that, therefore, we each have a way to do that, which I call purpose. So that our purpose is not about, you know, saving the world or whatever. It's what's our day-by-day, moment-by-moment contribution to the dance of unity that looks like it's diversity.
As I say here in the States. Do you get my humor?
Yeah, I do.
It's interesting. I actually just came back from I went to Iceland for almost 10 days, and there were maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There were probably 8 people on the tour. There was about 30 of us that were from London, and it was interesting because sometimes they got my humor and sometimes they didn't. So, I tend to think that the world is living in my world, and of course, what I say that the most people laugh here, that sometimes it won't relate to other countries, but oh well. But this is interesting, because I spent, you heard my little monologue in the beginning of the
mm-hmm.
show, and I
mm-hmm.
spent a lot of my life looking for my purpose, thinking that mm-hmm. my purpose is going to make me happy. Once I find what I'm gifted at, once I find what I'm really, really good at, once I find why I'm here, oh, it's going to be smooth sailing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that?
Well, I guess it would be, well, there's no smooth sailing ever. That's the first thing I would say.
Right.
Is that
right.
Life is a daily experience of choosing whether to try and run away and avoid and react to our problems or engaging with them. And that's what my book is. The reason it's called Switch On is because you get to choose it every 3 minutes whether to switch on or switch off. So there's never it's all done. I do think, or I know from my experience, and I hope that other people I've taught, is that when we connect to our purpose, which I define it slightly differently to you, when we connect to our purpose, life definitely becomes more smoother, not necessarily easy and it's all done, but it's, at least it stops us asking the question, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I spent part of my suffering for 20 years out in the desert of my own ignorance was constantly going, shall I do this thing or shall I do this thing? Shall I do this thing or shall I do this thing? And once I discovered my purpose, which for me is not necessarily a job title, it's just my way of being in the world that is most heartfelt. That's, I guess, would be another description of it. A way of serving the world from my heart. Once I found that and when I connect to it, I do return to a state, what people might call a state of grace. So that definitely makes life a lot easier, but it's definitely not, you know, it's not, there are no silver bullets.
Right. You're absolutely right because, listen, again, you're in the ocean, it's rough seas, and you can't do anything about that. But
exactly.
Let me go back to this purpose thing, because what I've discovered, you use this word serve, and people have said, you know, people have said to me for their answers, I'm here to help other people, serve other people, same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What I've discovered is, for moi, mm-hmm. is, that's a little French for you, moi means me. What I've discovered is that, why am I here? I'm here to experience this journey. I'm here to grow. I'm here to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to feel good.
Mm.
I'm here to have a personal vibration, you know, talking about a personal vibration of peace and contentment.
Mm.
And I'm here to learn how to experience more of that than not.
Mm.
Now, serving and helping others, that comes from, I can serve and I help others just by staying wherever I am right now. If my vibration is higher, or my vibration is at a level of closer to the inner, you said switch on, switch off. If my vibration is switched on, then I'm already serving. I'm already helping. Because without even leaving the house. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree. I think actually at this level, the distinction.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Kind of agree. You better agree to all of it. No, I'm just joking.
The distinction between me feeling in harmony, switched on, vibrationally alert, and me serving others, they kind of at this level become one thing.
Mm.
And that may look like me being in the house, meditating, just being, having a great time, washing up, whatever. Or it may look like being at a soup kitchen serving homeless people soup. They're kind of the same thing, as long as we realize that, because when we realize that we are a part of one thing, then we naturally feel like sharing with that one thing, with other people. So I'm not saying we have to all go out and run out and you know, volunteer, though I think that's a wonderful hack for feeling great. But I do believe that when you connect with this universe and feel this universe, then you automatically care about it. And that means children and poverty and climate change and any other part of that oneness that we're part of.
I love it. I love it. And we're really saying the same thing when I say service. It's if I'm in the world, if I'm out in the world, and my energy level and my vibration is that of accepting and unconditional love to everyone that I meet. I mean, I'm in and out of this. I see tons and tons of people every day. I'm in the world all the time. And so if my energy level and my personal vibration is that of the universe, what this is something what I say. My purpose is really to be an example of the universe in physical form.
Right. And, I like that. Yeah.
And so with that I can just walk in a room or I can connect eyes with someone and I can serve.
Exactly. I guess what I would add to that is when it comes to making a choice about where we invest our money or whether we recycle packaging from our lunch or not, that vibration of service, I believe, will want us to recycle. It will want us to invest in ethical shares.
Okay, now we're going to have our first fight.
Excellent.
Now we're going to have our first huge disagreement.
Excellent.
Because I used to walk around with causes and preferences and causes and yes, recycle, help the planet. Those weren't my causes. I had other causes, trust me.
Yeah.
Children and being abused. And, I mean, I was a really big advocate for, not was, but it just touched my heart. But and I have a 30-year-old son who, when he visits me, he's, you got to recycle. You have to have a bag for this and a bag for that. And I said, listen, you recycle. You know, I have to stay out of other people's business. One of the things that subtracts from my happiness is noticing what other people are doing, and putting a judgment on it and labeling
that. We're not fighting at all. My choices, for my spiritual choices that lead me.
I wanted to
cycle,
fight.
No,
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Yeah, not. I as soon as we go into cause mission. Mm-hmm. We're in ego again.
Yep, that's right.
Definitely. Couldn't agree more. Yeah, totally. It's just about for me. I would say to my students, I do say, just check in with yourself. What feels most harmonious to you about where to put your money, or where to whether to use plastic or wood, or whether to buy a really good quality piece of furniture, or buy some cheap stuff that you're just chuck into a landfill in 2 years. You know, you choose. You feel into that, because you're the only person who can feel that for you.
So you would be okay if somebody used plastic and then they bought cheap furniture and it would check into a landfill. You'd be okay with that?
I'd be okay about it. Yeah, I just challenge them to make sure they really feel that's in integrity for them, and that's it. And if they say absolutely, then it is. You know, I have no opinion on that.
You know what?
My interest, I think, like yours, is I want to make sure that the individual is living in absolute harmony with the universe they're part of, and feels at one with that. And when that's occurring, then I believe all the world's problems will resolve. And I can't ever be in someone else's shoes, so I can never hear their universe talking to them, so I have nothing to say on it.
Okay, you know what? Now I'm really upset. My ego is on fire here because we can't even have an argument. You're absolutely right. We're agreeing. Boy, you're so annoying.
Well, I work in the social enterprise and social change space a lot. You know, a lot of my work is in that space. And it's full of people who are radically miserable themselves, so angry with the world, and then going around blaming other people for the problems. And I love the energy and the enthusiasm for justice and peace and world, you know, no more poverty and no more malaria. And that's beautiful. It's got to come from a healed, happy heart, not a wounded one. Because otherwise it's just more of the problem, more of the same. And as you and I both know, no one needs, we don't, the world does not need any more pain and suffering in it.
Okay, so maybe I found something else to argue about. Here we go. Because when I look at the world, okay, so I have a question for you. So you, when you look at the world, you say that you see pain and suffering?
I see a lot of suffering almost everywhere I look, with moments of beautiful human joy and wonderfulness. I see in nature, which is vital and thriving and also being abused in certain places. Mm-hmm. I see cities that are, again, vibrant and exciting, but also full of loneliness. So, you know, I see a full spectrum.
Range.
Yeah. Every part of that.
Ooh, okay, so I have a question for you. If you are using your universal, you know, we talked about universal versus man-made versus, if you're using your universal eyes, when you look out into the world, do you still see pain and suffering?
Using your universal eyes. Yeah, I would take the metaphor, I would change it to disconnection and ignorance. I would take away a normative. But I would definitely still see disconnection, as in you don't realize that you are part of me. That's nuts. Why don't you realize it? Because it's much more fun when you do. But if you don't, you know.
If I'm looking through my universal eyes, if I'm looking at the world, and like I said, I'm the example, I don't see anything wrong with what's going on. I don't see any pain. I don't see any suffering. I know exactly what you're saying, but the universe looks at this, the universe is looking at it, and it's all good. I mean, using that word, all good. Man looks at it and says, yeah, there could be some improvements. There could be, you know, people are disconnected, and they are. But it's that journey. It's the journey that they need to take. This, quote, pain and suffering, this turmoil has to happen before the next moment or the next evolution happens. The planet, billions and billions, hundreds of billions of years to form, started off as you know, the big, some kind of, who knows, rock and banged in with other rocks, and now it's the Earth, and
exactly.
It came, you know, frozen and hot and frozen and dinosaurs extinction and all of it. But it was all good. I mean, it might have looked very violent, but it's all good. So I look at it as it's all in perfect order. Can we have a first argument, please?
Well, no, because I know what you're saying. I mean, when you come from a radically non-dual position, and non-dual as in there's nothing other than one thing, then there can be no right or wrong, good or bad, better or worse.
Yes.
Yet at the same time, we live in a world of relativity, not the absolute. And for me, walking through, let's say, Auschwitz, with children being murdered and burnt, I would say this is not ideal. This is not harmonious. This is not creating love and joy. This is unnecessary suffering. While still knowing that the moment I make it bad, I will move into essentially an egoic judgment, which will stop me being able to do anything about it. And that's the dance, is that yes, it's all perfect, and yes, it's also all lots of suffering. And between those two, in that creative tension, in that paradox, is the work of a leader, ultimately. And for me, it's about holding both those truths together at the same time, which is not necessarily always simple, but it's definitely what I've come to, which is they're both right. The world is in pain and the world perfect at the same moment.
Well, I've given up my man-made and all of that stuff, and I'm only universal now. I mean, I'm one of a freak of nature, and I've given up being human. I'm just not. I can't. I don't want to. Hold on a second. We have some more people that have called in. What a fascinating conversation, especially.
Yeah, this is one of the big questions that I've spent much time talking and thinking about.
Okay, hold on. So let me go to our caller, Wyclef. You are on live on Reality Spirituality. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you? Good.
Yep. Do you have a question?
No, I just want to congratulate everybody listening to the show. And this is a good show. And the show is international. I am listening from Africa.
Oh, my goodness.
Great.
My first person that has called in and from Africa. I've had people call in from Australia, from China, but this is my first person calling in from Africa. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I am in Kenya, Africa.
Kenya?
Yes, yes.
How's the weather?
Not always. It is cool as usual, as 12 hours during the day, 12 hours during the night. We have no winter. It's always summer. It's always summer all the time with a lot of breeze and just weather is just cool.
Wow. I'm just up here smiling from ear to ear, and you can see all of the gums on my teeth because it's such a big smile. I'm so excited to have a caller from Kenya. Yay! So you don't have a question. You're just loving the show, correct?
Yes, I am just satisfied by listening to the show. I just want to hear various views and different questions that everybody, every listener have, and also every participant. So I want to participate. And then if a time of question, I might come back to the show to ask a question. But for now,
just to congratulate
everybody listening and also participating in the show.
Now I'm not smiling. Now I'm crying. Happy tears, of course. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. Wow, my first listener from Kenya, Africa. Jeez, Nick, I'm excited. You see what we're doing here?
Yeah, love it.
Now, where do we leave off? Oh, that's right. I'm right and you're wrong. No.
Love it.
Okay, so we're about to, oh my goodness, I can't believe the hour's almost up. So you answered the question, why are we here? And one of the things you said earlier, which is true, you can't even, listen, one of the things I tell people is to stay out of everybody else's business. We are all as different as our fingerprints. There is no way I can get into your skin and have your experiences and feel and know what you've gone through or how that feels to you or any of that stuff. So everyone in my life is there for a wonderful reason to teach me how to evolve and what to look at within myself and what to look at or maybe shine a light on that'll take me even to a more level of awareness.
Absolutely.
Especially the people that quote unquote irritate me. I know that that's been a long time. I know that if I'm irritated, all I have to do is take a mirror and look in the mirror and figure out, okay, what is going on within you. It's never the other person. It's always the person in the mirror.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it. Bye. No.
I agree.
No. So let me okay, here we go. This is a question that I want to ask you, and you can either choose to answer or not. What are your personal challenges today?
Today. Oh.
That's right, today.
My absolute perfect challenge today is how to nourish and pay attention to two wonderful little boys, my sons, whilst at the same time taking care of the things I have to take care of, like a radio interview, like some other things I have to do for my work. And stay calm and peaceful and connected the whole time. That is my current working, one of my big working challenges.
How old is your boy?
I've got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. And they
want
my attention all the time. They don't want me disappearing to do a radio interview on a Saturday. And how to hold them and nourish them and honor them whilst also honoring my own projects and needs.
Well, listen, I can just feel you, and I can say that you're figuring that out, and
absolutely.
Especially you're a loving father, loving meaning, accepting, and one of the things with children is so important is not breaking their spirits and just allowing them to be exactly who they are, and allowing and What a great challenge to have.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's great. Amazing. Amazing challenge. Two amazing boys. And, talking about the universe giving you challenges, children are a rich vein of opportunities to switch on and become more conscious.
Yes. Ooh-wee. Okay, well, we're coming to the end of the hour. Please tell my audience or share with my audience where they can find you, your Facebook, your website, your book.
Great. Well, the book Switch On is on, I think, pretty much every Amazon in every country. So Barnes & Noble, other places like that. So that's where you get the book. My personal website, which is just gives you a sense of what I do. Doesn't do much, but it's just got some directions to go off in, is Nick Jankel, NickJankel.com. And if you like wisdom videos and articles and all that kind of stuff, I've created a web platform for myself and about 30 or 40 other teachers from my generation, so the millennial and digital generations, at ripeandready.com. So it's ripe as in we are becoming ripe in our hearts, ripeandready.com.
Well, I'm not on that website.
No, you're not, I don't think. you should check it out and see what you think. We're actually in the middle of redesigning it.
Okay.
needs to get better. so, yeah, check it out.
Okay, I definitely will. Well, it has been more than a pleasure. I've enjoyed our conversation. It seems like the hour just flew by so quickly. That's what happens when you have really stimulating guests. And I love your perspective, your views, and how I just love that we're the same, but we're really not. It's just more information for my audience. I really appreciate having you on, Nick. I loved all of our conversations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, my dear audience, that is it for today. Now, tomorrow we have another guest, Kalina Smith. She's going to be she's a psychic, and she's all the way from Canada. But Reality Spirituality is heard every Saturday and Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you'd like more information on my coaching programs, my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington.com. And also follow me on Twitter at RLNorrington. That's RLNorrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, which I know that you have, you don't even have to think about it. I already know it. Go to Facebook, go to Reality Spirituality on Facebook, and like the show. I want to remind you who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving, and you're always changing, and you're always growing. Love is patient, and love is kind. Be patient, and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. And my book is Reality Spirituality. This is the first edition, Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness, which also can be found on Amazon. However, it is going to be a limited edition because I'm currently editing it. I have a few people that are interested, agents and publishers that are interested in purchasing, not purchasing, but expanding the book. It's going to be called something different. So this first edition that's out, that's on sale right now at Amazon, trust, it is a limited edition. It is going to be a collector's item because there's only a few that have been printed, a few hundred that have been printed. So if you get that, that is the original Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. And I talk about money and happiness, death and happiness, relationships and happiness, controlling, all of the things that either add or subtract from your happiness. And I just, my thing, my passion, my number one reason why I'm here is to share how to experience more happiness. So thank you so much for listening. Talk to you tomorrow with Kalina Smith. She's a psychic, and she's been on the show before. You can call in with your questions, with anything you want to ask Kalina tomorrow, Kalina Smith. Okay, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Get down.